The Venturi's Voice podcast brings together some of technology's brightest minds to discuss all things leadership, technology, and staffing. Keep the conversation going in the Venturi's Voice Slack group and have the opportunity to meet some of our amazing guests. You can download Venturi's Voice via iTunes or via the Venturi Group website at venturi-group.com. Today's guest is Marta Jasinska, the CTO at Moo. All right, we're running. Martha, thank you so much for taking the time, especially on this early Monday morning as well. It's not always the best time for people wanting to be chatty, typically.
That's fair enough. Thank you for having me. I have my coffee with me. I'm pretty sure we can make this happen.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. It's the coffee's necessary. I've had mine too. It's Monday. You know, we'll strap ourselves in. And you know what? Maybe this is going to be a good thing. Maybe we should start having conversations more on Monday mornings. Maybe it'll get us out of feeling like zombies or something, you know. Maybe something like that, anyway.
Let's try it. Let's see how it goes.
Yeah. You let me know at the end of the week whether it helped or not, and I'll let you know, and we'll come to some kind of conclusion. Thank you so much. It's really exciting to have you on. There's kind of a lot that I want to talk about with you, and I think that's typically a good thing when I have guests on where I struggle about where to start. It's typically because they've kind of done a lot, I suppose. But I actually just wanted to kind of ask a few more kind of skills related questions about kind of scale and kind of your approach to scale with kind of a new project. Actually, because I'm kind of going through a similar thing myself, or we're preparing to really scale out different aspects of our business at the moment. Obviously, I know you kind of have a ton of experience, especially specializing in sort of mid to large scale kind of web platforms. So, I mean, it's a fascinating space, but also a very daunting task to take on something like that. So, you know, can you kind of talk us through the process on how you even kind of, first of all, get started and then even begin to execute on something like that?
Yeah, I can certainly try. I think the reason why it's so daunting and hard is because it's such a multidimensional thing. Mm-hmm. Scale and growing is never just one thing. You can never just scale the team or scale your infrastructure or scale the size of your application stack. It's always something that's multidimensional and has to happen in certain order and in certain like level of connection or level of interdependencies management. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so hard, because you wanna just dive in and solve a problem, right? You usually think about scaling up for a reason, whether it's a business reason, you know, you want to deliver more features so you can monetize them better, or whether it's about growing out the team and making sure that you have the skills needed in the team to start delivering on the promise for the business, or whether it's scaling because your infrastructure is not handling the traffic and the level of interest of your customers. Mm-hmm. There's always a reason for why you're doing it. And you just want to throw yourself and the team at the problem. You want to solve the problem first. But yet you cannot do it. You cannot just scale one of those things. You always have to grow in parallel, and you have to grow those different dimensions as you think about scaling. Yeah. So the way I approach it is you try to identify the reason first, right? And I listed the three most common ones that I see, either to support the business growth and the features that they want to see, to support your team with the skills that they don't have, or to support your technical stack with the capabilities that new infrastructure or new stack would offer. Mm-hmm. Once you identify the problem, you then have to do quite a deep down like research and like in look inside and figure out what is missing in which side of the company. So if I grow X, what's going to happen on all the other in the other places of the organization? And then you do a lot of planning and a lot of conversations, both between your teams, so what do you guys need, how can I help you, but also with the board and with the exec team and the leadership about what we can actually realistically afford. Sometimes the conversations lead to quite difficult decision-making conversations where you say, for what you can afford, you cannot have the scale that you are planning to have, and we have to talk about compromises. Once you lay it all out, and I tend to be very honest, maybe sometimes too honest. I'm very direct as well. I'm going to tell you what are your problems across your organization, across your tech stack, and I'm going to highlight them in red. And I'm going to tell you what you can and cannot afford and how long it's going to take. Then comes the planning meeting, and you go, okay, we identified some boundaries, we identified how far we want to push it, let's figure out how we can get there. And that, and that stage, it's really much less about me and much more about my teams. Having people who understand how to grow teams and how to manage projects like this is really important at that stage. You cannot plan a scale up without having people who went through this in the past.
So, yeah, the, you know, the, I just wanted to ask a question on that. So the initial kind of decision making, it seems like there's kind of, you have to have those instincts, because there seems to be a fine line from the point where problems are starting to occur, but you can't get let things get too bad before you start to build out a project. But also then you can't kind of do things too far in advance, because fiscally it might not make the most sense to do it. So is there kind of a sweet spot in the kind of planning process in advance before you even start to consider the scale of project?
I think there is, but it's not a spot. I would say it's a moving target.
Mm-hmm.
Because it will move with your business, and it will move with your appetite for how you grow, and it will move with how quickly you are growing as well as an organization.
Mm-hmm.
And the way to find it and the way to maintain it is through data and through very proactive monitoring and understanding of the data, all kinds of data, everything that you can find about your business, your organization, and your tech stack. Combine it will tell you when you are running into problems and what you can do about them.
Mm-hmm.
I think most of my experience was in places that unfortunately are beyond that point. Usually when I'm brought on board, it's about, well, we kind of incurred all of this tech debt or this organizational debt, and we know that we cannot do the things that we want to do now, and please help us. So usually I'm already there after the fact, because it's so easy to get to that point. It's so easy to grow organizations that just won't support your growth, or grow tech stacks and infrastructure setups that just won't support the scale that you need going forward. But it's much harder to go back from that place and start building something new from scratch.
Do you think it comes from kind of a place of necessity, or do you think that companies that are willing to invest in a tech stack and to be able to scale out operations, do they need to be ambitious, do you think, to even contemplate it? Or do you think it comes from a place of kind of necessity typically?
But I think it comes down to what kind of, at which stage of the growth of the company you're in, right? You could be in a stage where you will not be able to sustain that level of growth if you don't invest in your scale, in growing mature tech stack.
Mm-hmm.
Because you haven't grown enough yet, you don't have a big chunk of the market underneath you yet, so you know that the next step will have to be done with a new stack. In other places, it could be more about, hey, we are very comfortable, we have lots of people coming in, we have huge scale, we are selling very, very well, but we want to be more than that. We want to be more than a company that does X. We want to find our next step. And we know that what we have today is not going to sustain that next step. We know we need something better. And so it's both ways. You either have to be ambitious, or you have to have really big need to survive. Both of those can lead you to this massive investment and massive organizational change that comes with that sort of thing.
It seems like it could be quite sensitive as well, because I'm not sure, you know, how long your career has been, but I think the interesting thing is the amount of stakeholder management that's now involved with, you know, technical leads or CTOs, right? It goes beyond just the kind of the technical capabilities. And when proposing a scale, it can impact a lot of different aspects of the business. So does there, I don't want to say politics as the right word, but for a lack of a better term, is there things outside of just the tech that obviously impact different aspects of the business when you're looking at such a proposal, which make it, I suppose, even more difficult to try and then execute on something?
Yeah, so I don't call them politics. I call them brutal honesty, and I expect the same from others. So when I talk with my peers in business, across business, in different departments, I always try to be very honest with them and explain what is and isn't possible.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes both ways, right? It can be a big threat when I say, look, guys, we cannot survive another year on whatever, on this infrastructure. We're going to collapse.
Mm-hmm.
But it also can be you know, I could probably do the thing that you need me to do on the current stack. It's going to be a bit more expensive. It's going to be a bit more hard to maintain, but you're giving me good enough reason to do it because I believe that this is the right thing to do for the business. Mm-hmm. So as long as we can have honest conversations about what is and isn't possible across those departments and across different functions, I think it's all about putting the needs of the business above anything else. In the end, we are here for a reason, and the reason is to make this company successful. I'm not here to build a giant tech organization for the sake of building giant tech organization. I'm here to support the business in their growth. And equally, while they trust us to build them the best platform they can afford, I cannot advise them on how to utilize this platform to make this business successful. So we need each other to make this work. There's a lot of, I find that there's much, much more than politics. There's a lot of education going on. Mm-hmm. I'm learning a lot about what a good business looks like, and I'm trying to help my peers to understand what a sensible tech team and tech platform looks like, and what would feel, what feels good and what feels bad for the size of the organization. So we learn from each other. And again, I mentioned it earlier, you end up in sometimes very difficult conversations when you sit around the table and you all seem to know what's the right thing to do, and yet you just cannot agree because everybody thinks the right thing to do is a different thing. And at this point in time, I think leadership needs to come from leaders of the organization. You need some leadership, you need some decision making that needs to happen at the C-level or leadership level or whoever holds that responsibility in the organization.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it must be quite actually difficult because I suppose your experience wouldn't necessarily have been quite as natural to maybe have those commercial instincts, I suppose, and perhaps the kind of even on the people side of things, the people management side, it's also something that, you know, it's not innate in your skill set as a, you know, a software engineer or et cetera, right? So yeah, it must be kind of such a rapid learning process when, you know, you're, I suppose, still looking at things from a technical perspective, but then it kind of far exceeds just that all of a sudden, and you have to take all these other considerations into play. Is that something that, you know, you embraced and you enjoyed, or was it quite intimidating at times?
Well, I definitely enjoy a challenge, and I think that's why I'm here today. There were moments where it was quite scary as well. I think the people management and growing the teams, that came first. That's the usual, you know, career path of engineering managers. I started out as a developer and moved into management role quite quickly. In early days, it gave me a bit of a pause and a bit of a scare. I still remember my first engineering team, which was just two engineers in my team, and they both managed to resign in the same week after maybe 6 months of me managing them, and I felt like the worst engineering manager ever, and that I will never be successful in that job. So it was a bit daunting at the beginning, but I just decided to put in time and teach myself the best practices, but also just try out different things and try to have a, you know, human approach to all of that. And then since maybe past 3-4 years, I've been exposed a bit more to the commercial side of things, to the business leadership more than tech leadership. And again, this has been pretty scary, and it has been pretty sudden for me as well. So it was a rapid learning curve. But what I enjoy is really, like, if I end the week being very, very tired, but I look back and I think about one or two things that I've learned that are new and relevant and interesting that I consider it a good week. And I had many, many good weeks like that in the past year, so I consider it a win.
Fantastic. Yeah. No, I think it is. And it's obviously someone needs to kind of embrace that challenge. And I think you have to be motivated from the business sense as well. But that may not always be the typical mindset of a technical person. From your experiences, is it something that, and this isn't a right or wrong way of doing things, I suppose. It's just not probably as common for people to be kind of attracted towards that road, I would assume, from probably a lot of your peers that, you know, you kind of developed with as an engineer.
Totally, and there's a bit of a stigma around it that we try to work on, I think, across the industry, right? We want to embrace people who just want to be specialists and be coders and just stay on relevant and coding and have, you know, those massive careers. when they can really deliver a lot of business value as individual contributors. Mm-hmm. And they can grow as specialists and can pick up new languages. They can pick up new platforms and new stacks and do all of that. And they should have just as rewarding and exciting careers as you can have down the management or commercial path. Yeah. There's definitely different levels of motivation across tech and engineering teams. Mine is not as uncommon as you would think, actually. I would say it's probably not 50-50, but maybe a 30-70 split when you talk with younger engineers on what they want to do. Mm. And as you grow, I think some of them realize maybe 5-10 years into career that they just want to change, they just want to try something new. And then the management and commercial side of things offers you that. But there's more and more opportunities opening in product and in coaching and in delivery. You can start having those, you know, different career paths that mm-hmm. don't always lead through business or people management.
Yeah, and I'm a big advocate of that as well. Like you say, the stigma is so unnecessary just because you don't want to pursue, an executive career or an executive role doesn't mean that you're any less motivated. So I think it's a really important message. And I have seen a lot of change in that regard as well. You know, companies creating kind of alternative paths for people who want to, you know, stay a specialist. And I think we are seeing a change in that. And it's nice that we are seeing that change and we're able to kind of get that message out there that that's actually okay. And if you don't want to, then why should you, I suppose, right?
Yeah, but also, like, when I think back to all hands meetings with our exec team, the most kind of like pointed questions about the business usually come from engineers, especially senior ones, right? They definitely care. They are definitely motivated by that side of things. They want to know and understand as much as possible about it.
Oh, of course.
It's just that they want to keep coding, and it's great.
Yeah, it's awesome. I wanted to just ask a few more questions about scale as well. I think when we associate scale, I think it's typically a good thing because I think we're assuming that the platforms is going to grow. We're seeing a lot in kind of change management now. There seems to be kind of, you know, a lot of change management projects kind of popping up all over the place. How much involvement have you seen with that kind of push from change management and how it kind of coincides with technical scale? Are they kind of cohesive in the way that they're approaching, scale projects now? And is it going to be, I think, just an accelerated thing where we're seeing more and more scale and change management projects as the tech side of things becomes more sophisticated? Do you think that that is the case and that the tech is leading the need for change management in companies, and over the next few years, we'll just see kind of more and more of that?
I think tech and product development had been at the forefront of change, just change drive across all of the like bigger and smaller organizations for the past 5 or 10 years even. It started a while back, actually, and I think it's just continuous as we go through this all of us together. I think the change that I'm seeing right now is much less about technology and the platforms and much more about ways of working. How do we get a number of specialists, number of people who know what they are doing? How do we get them to be even more productive? How do we make sure that the value that they deliver is really relevant for business? Mm-hmm. How do we make our feedback loops shorter so we can pivot faster? It's all about, you know, maximizing the value of those, frankly, expensive groups of people and expensive platforms that they're building, how to maximize the value of that in businesses that are becoming much more agile in how they think about themselves and how they think about what they want to do going forward. And I've seen a lot of that happening, and I think it's going to be much less in the future. I imagine it's going to be even less about, you know, people sitting at the computers coding or large scale platforms running somewhere in the cloud. I think it's going to be about features and capabilities that you can mix and match, and whoever can offer more flexibility around that is probably going to win a big piece of the pie around change management and how companies grow in the future. I think offering flexibility and ability to combine, frankly, common features, like across e-commerce, there's only so much you can do these days, right? The tools are quite understood. It's all about how quickly you can put them together to do something valuable and how quickly you can reshuffle them to do something else. And the more we can push towards that direction, the better.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I think it is. Like you say, it seems like there's a, you know, as we know in e-commerce, at least, there's a lot of testing, a lot of analytics that are driving that kind of change, right? It's very behaviors driven about why you make those adjustments. It's a fascinating time, because I do think that we're kind of on a brink of that change, where, you know, scale is fantastic, and the ability to scale now, we can scale more quickly than ever. But I think, like you say, it's the people side of it that for me is going to be the real interesting part over the next few years. And just to see like where the skill set then becomes, you know, valued the most, as you kind of touched on briefly a second ago. I think that's what's going to be fascinating, and what we value as people's contributions to projects. I think it's always going to have to be reassessed on how we kind of, you know, look at performance, because it's the output may not be as directly quantifiable, because, you know, we have the ability to scale so quickly in the tech there. So it's more like the depth of thought and understanding and strategy side of things, which is probably going to be favored over a lot of things. And how you kind of gauge performance and things like that, and a feedback loop, is going to probably change quite dramatically. So I think for me, that side of things is almost the more interesting, even though the tech is still fascinating.
Yeah, and I think that's why management and the strong connection with your leadership across the organization is going to be so important, because those are all like management problems, right? How do I figure out a consistent way to provide feedback, and how do I grow my team? Which direction do I grow my team at? This is a management problem. Mm-hmm. But without having a strong connection with leadership and understanding of where we're going as an organization, it's a very hard thing to achieve. So you could create those bubbles of management that, you know, incentivize certain behaviors or create certain opportunities, but they may not be, in the grand scheme of things, the right thing to do for the company. So it's going to come down to having the clear vision and having the visibility from top to bottom, really, from all the different layers, for people to be able to rally around something that matters for them, but also is important for the company.
Yeah. There seems like there's going to be a real intense, an intense focus on management, really, and management philosophies, interestingly enough, over the next few years. It's really where I think you are going to see businesses, you know, strive or not. I genuinely believe that, which is so interesting. I think that, you know, after all the innovation that we have, it still comes back to the people at the end of the day. You know, I suppose the technology just kind of empowers the people still, and ultimately it still is a people problem. There's almost an irony there.
Yeah, but I think technology is like any other tool, right? We use it for people, for our customers, and, you know, people are using it. It's us. It's only as valuable as whoever is using it.
I agree. Martha, I won't keep you too much longer. I think we've covered some really interesting points. You know, as far as your kind of outlook now, what are you kind of preparing yourself for personally, as far as what skills you really are hoping to kind of build and achieve over the next kind of year to 2 years kind of period? Is that something that you even, I suppose, target yourself to try and do?
I do. I think a lot about, you know, which way I want to grow and, you know, what I want to achieve going forward. There's a couple of tactical things that I'm thinking about a lot. I've never really get to work with large scale remote teams. And I think the challenge of getting people to understand the value behind what they do is much more interesting when you work with a truly distributed set of people that work remotely. So that's something that I would really start exploring, whether here in Moore or, you know, with companies that already do that, and just partnering with some people around that. I'm really excited about this idea of having people from different cultures and locations just collaborating together on a project, and that's something I would really enjoy trying to do. Mm-hmm. And on a longer, like a bigger perspective, being part of now of the exec team here at Moore really opened up a lot of new avenues for me to explore around business management and understanding, again, how technology can drive some of the really big decisions We are very, like, when you think about it, as companies, we are very particular about, you know, test-driven development and monitoring and dashboards and, you know, all of those business decisions that are based on data. And yet it doesn't really go all the way up yet in some organizations. I think here at Moo, we could be better at this, and I think other places could as well. So thinking about that and thinking about how we could make data, big data, small data, and the tooling around it even more available for people who are not really technically minded, but they need to make very important business decisions. I think that's something that I want to start exploring as well for myself. It's just interesting subject because my background is not naturally data connected, data-driven development or data-driven decision-making processes. It's not something I'm very familiar with, so that's something I want to start learning about.
Fantastic. Martha, it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you. It's Monday, so I'm sure we've got lots to get on with and lots to try and achieve this week, but it's been really fascinating insights. So, you know, I massively appreciate you taking the time today. So thank you.
No problem. Thank you very much for having me.